You're listening to Team Talk, a podcast by the Evangelical Movement of Wales to support church leaders. Hello, welcome to another episode of Team Talk from the Evangelical Movement of Wales. I'm Phil Swan, I'm a pastor in Llanelli in West Wales, but it's also my privilege to host Team Talk. And we're delighted that you've joined us today as we're going to talk today about the national initiative known to many of you as A Passion for Life. To help me look at this and to explore it, I've got my good friend Stefan Jones with me today. Stefan is a pastor in Pontardawe, just over the way, really, Steph, isn't it?
Yeah, just across the River Lyche. I'm from Carmarthen originally, so I've crossed the Lyche. I'm a Llanelli fan who's pastoring in the Swansea Valley.
Yeah, we regard that as missionary work, Steph. Anything over the Lyche Bridge is missionary work. There we are. Good. Well, it is really good to have you with us today, Stefan. Perhaps you could start, in case people don't know much about you or the church in Pontardawe, could you tell us about your journey into ministry in Pontardawe and perhaps how things are going?
Yeah, I'm from Armenford originally in Carmarthenshire, studied in Cardiff University, ended up working for UCCF. So I was a staff worker for UCCF in Aberystwyth for 5 years, which was a real blessing, a real encouragement, seeing people at that stage and phase in their lives, people between 18 and 21 wanting to grow in the Lord, wanting to share the gospel with their faith. It was a real privilege to work alongside those students, really, and to encourage them. And I probably learnt how to help people, how to communicate the gospel, how to pastor people in those few years. Some excellent fellow staff workers. So I did that for 5 years. Then I became an assistant pastor in the Welsh Evangelical Church in Aberystwyth. While I did that, I studied in what is now Union, Brinterion in Bridgend. So there, in a way, a lot of the theological gaps were filled. And so in a sense, I had the practical training while working for UCCF, how to share the gospel, how to pastor, and then a deeper theological training with Union. Then I was called to Mount Elim Church in Pontardawe 10 years ago. So it's coming up to 10 years since we've been here, and the Lord has been very gracious. It was a small church with just 11 members when we started, and God gave us a real vision, really, that this, for want of a better word, is a transplant, a church that needs to be reinvigorated, a church that needs to be brought back to real life and vigour. And God has been very gracious, very prayerful church, with evangelism and outreach at its very DNA, at the core of the life of the church. And God has brought families and men. And so it feels like a family church now, reaching the community. So coming up to 10 years, and we're aware of God's goodness and grace to us.
That's really great to hear that, Steph. Of course, you get a special medal after 10 years. You know that,
well, apparently so, yeah.
Yeah, very good.
I remember chatting with you, Phil, about this, and you said, I'll wait until you've been at church 20 years, 25 years.
Yeah, you get an even bigger medal then. Anyway, I mean, it is very exciting, really, Stefan, the things that the Lord is doing in Pontardawe. It's a great encouragement to many of us who watch, you know, and see what he's doing. And amongst the things that are happening, of course, is you're growing. And I know I preach there. The building that you're currently in is not great. We just have to be honest about that. I know that's been a concern to you for a while, and that you now have taken a really bold step with a building project. Can you quickly tell us about that? Because I think people would be interested.
Yeah. The church is from 1886, and it was derelict for about 10 years. Pontardawe Evangelical Church was established, and they met in a community centre. And then they took over Mount Elim Baptist Chapel. So it was in a derelict state for 10 years in the 1960s. So it's always been a little bit of a patchwork, to be honest, covering up the cracks. Obviously, you're going another 40, 50 years since then. So the chapel is not suitable for the 21st century. The stonework is crumbling. Damp issues, toilet facilities not suitable. Also, as you've suggested, the numbers have grown and there are times when we are quite full to capacity on Sundays. And so we felt we needed a new church building. And about 5 or 6 years ago, we embarked on a project. First of all, let's try to renovate the current church building. Can we do that? We came up with some designs and the council said, no, that'll constitute a new church building. So you'll need a car park. We haven't got the space for that. And so that, in a sense, compelled us to look elsewhere. And God wonderfully and graciously provided a plot of land for us, about 150, 200 metres away. And there we can build a new church building with a car park, with all the facilities. So in a way, God has gently eased us into this development of a new church building. I think if we'd have told the church 5 or 6 years ago, we're going to sell this building and build a new church, it might have been too much. Mm. What's interesting is that the Lord has guided us slowly and gently to this decision. And now we've bought the plot of land, we've got the planning permission, and we're currently raising funds for that. But the Lord has wonderfully provided people, skills, gifts, a vision, the plot itself. And so we trust that the Lord will provide financially. We do pray. It's always a challenge, isn't it? Is this just us wanting a comfortable church that we look good? Or is it a genuine pastoral and ministerial need? And we believe that this is a need, so we continue to do God's work in Pontydawr. So we're grateful for people's prayers. And if people out there are able to support and pray in any way, then do get in touch with me. We'd be delighted to hear from you.
Great. That's really encouraging. And we're not very good about talking about money, you know, particularly as Christians in Wales. So let me do it for you. If you're sitting on a pile of cash and you could be, your heart is inclined towards gospel ministry in Pontydawr, do send the money to Steph, because this, I can tell you now, is a huge step for this congregation. And it's a wonderful testimony to their conviction that God is with them. And that the work has a future, and they're looking to the future. But in all seriousness, if you would like to contribute to this, do get in touch with Stefan directly, or if you contact us at the EMW office, we'd be happy to point you in his direction.
Thank you, Phil. Yeah, it's a real testimony to the faith of the early members, you know, the members who were there when we started, people of prayer. And I think everything that's happened since then really is the Lord honouring their prayers. It's been a wonderful testimony to that.
Yeah, that's great. Well, we're here to talk about a passion for life, which I know you've had some involvement in. I have a little as well. But I guess there are people who don't know what a passion for life is. So could you just outline for us what a passion for life is?
It's an initiative that started in England with groups such as the Christianity Explored Ministries, FIEC, the Gospel Partnerships. They've held 2, maybe 3 missions in the last few years across England. They prepare resources and then they held whole missions across England. This latest mission, they want it to spread throughout the UK. So they want missions to be held in Scotland, in Northern Ireland, and here in Wales as well. And it's a group of churches, a group of networks and missionary organisations coming together every 3 or 4 years to prepare resources for evangelism training, leading up then to a time of mission. And that mission varies. So one of the strengths of a passion for life is that it's not a one-size-fit-all sort of mission. They're not saying this is the mission you have to do in your situation. They're aware that some churches will see the need to encourage their members to share the gospel on a personal level, that their personal witnessing needs to be strengthened. There are other churches, perhaps, that could meet with local churches to pray together, and that is what's needed. In other places, there might be need for a fully blown mission with speakers coming in. So in a sense, what the vision is to encourage, to reinvigorate churches, to help them to think strategically and prayerfully about sharing the gospel with their own friends in their communities. And it's exciting because we need every encouragement we can get. You know, as a church pastor, if there are resources that we can send people to, if there are videos that will help people to share the gospel, to understand the gospel, to believe and to trust in the gospel more, then it's great to have that. And it's encouraging that prayer is at the centre of it as well. They've had regular prayer meetings for the UK online. So I think the leaders are very aware that it's not just about putting videos out there, but encouraging people to love the Lord, to love the gospel, to depend on the Lord more and more.
Yeah, I think that's a great assessment, really, Stefan, of A Passion for Life. There are great resources, as you say, the video resources, the things on their website, which you can go to and you can access for free. But as well, there is this massive heart that they have for bringing the gospel to the United Kingdom. And, well, as you say, it's not just England, Wales, it's Scotland, Northern Ireland, and the Republic of Ireland. There are churches.
Yeah, the Republic as well. Yeah, of course.
I saw today there's about 750 churches have signed up for this, which is really encouraging. And the people who are driving this are people who have a real heart. There's a real servant nature about them as well. This isn't about building an empire or a name, but they're just concerned to encourage churches to respond in whatever way they can using the resources they've given to reach people for the Lord Jesus Christ today. So it's, if you've not looked at the A Passion for Life website yet, please do take a look at that.
Yeah, the videos are excellent. There are some videos by Jeremy Marshall, for example, how to use your suffering to share the gospel. He shared a few videos on how to share the gospel with his friends. Rico Tice is always good. John McKinnon has very good videos on the work of the Holy Spirit. Nate Dawson. There are excellent videos out there. What we do in our church is that we watch them in our prayer meeting once a month. Other churches, they meet on a Sunday afternoon to watch them together and to discuss. Other churches, they send a link on WhatsApp. It really is worth watching those videos.
Yeah, we've just started now in Llanelli in our life groups. And it's been good, really good. And of course, you mentioned John McKinnon. We had John to team talk last year. I think it was in the summer, outlining this now. But it's really good to hear from a pastor like yourself of the actual impact in the local church. I mean, for example, when you first heard about A Passion for Life, what was your, out of interest, what were your initial thoughts?
What is this? Something else, you know? Yeah. Another network, another grouping, more resources. What is, I think, really encouraging about this particular grouping and this venture, there's no sense of them coming and telling us what to do here in Wales or in any of the regions or the nations. This, in a sense, has been handed over. And so there's a steering committee here in Wales. There's a Welsh language work as well. I think they're very keen to make sure that the churches locally, that the various nations and regions are able to really apply the principles to their own situations. And so maybe that initial scepticism has dissolved as I've seen their approach, really. And when you're listening to them talking, the humility, the willing to listen, the willingness to pray, the quality of their resources as well. And what I've been encouraged, really, is to go and to contact some of the local churches in the Swansea area to see, can we pray together? Is there a possibility of holding a mission together? So anything that does that is good from my perspective. So there's no reason, I don't think, to be sceptical about it, because they are good people there who want to get the gospel out to the UK and Ireland.
Yeah, I think that's, again, really, really helpful, isn't it? I think our default setting is a little bit, you know, oh, is this bunch of people telling us what we should be doing, how we should be doing it, and pointing out the fact we're not doing it, making us all feel guilty.
Yeah, there are so many resources out there as well. That's a reality. You know, so many podcasts, so many resources, so many books. And so this is something which is tailored for churches and church leaders to do.
But as you say, there's no need for that to be skeptical, really. I mean, obviously, people have got to investigate this for themselves. But the servant-hearted nature behind this is so clear, and they're so transparent about what they're doing. They're not chasing you for money. They're not imposing anything. And I think it's been fantastic. The real respect, I would say, and desire to acknowledge that the situation in parts of the UK is different. And the way they've responded to us in Wales has been fantastic, hasn't it? Because you mentioned about the Welsh language. They've been really quite positive about this area, haven't they?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, so I've been involved in a task group, really, creating Welsh videos. And they were very keen for that. They were keen to have Welsh accents in the English videos, to have Welsh-speaking videos as well. And so 6 videos have been produced in Welsh for the Welsh chapels and churches. And again, they've been very keen. They're aware that there are different cultures within the different nations, and they want to reach out through the churches, through individuals, and they've supported that. The website is there, the resources and the facilities are there. So it really is, I think, churches, various denominations coming together to make the gospel known.
Great. And you mentioned that you've reached out to leaders in the Swansea area, trying to encourage people to think about this possible cooperation as well. What do you know about this happening more generally? And maybe, you know, on the Welsh language side, you know, how are things going with it?
Yeah, there are a few missions being held. I think the general impression in Mount Elim here in Pont y Dywe and in the Swansea area was that holding a mission this Easter was a little bit soon. We're not quite ready for that. Mm. So what we're doing in Pont y Dywe is using Easter as a launch pad for a year of witnessing and maybe doing something next autumn or in the Easter of next year. But I know that there are some churches and groupings who are organising missions. So in Gwent, for example, in North Gwent, I think 5 churches are coming together to hold a mission in Easter. I think you've got Monmouth, Crickhowell, Abergavenny, a few other churches coming together. I know that Malpas Road and Emmanuel Church in Newport are going to put a mission together with Andy Christofides speaking. In Bridgend, 6 churches are coming together to hold a mission this Easter. So it seems that there are churches across certainly South Wales who are coming together to hold a series of meetings and missions this Easter. And it seems to be that there are 1 or 2 pastors who are driving that locally.
I mean, the fascinating thing about this is that whilst they're basically saying target Easter 2022, they're not holding you to that, and the resources are going to be there. And as you're saying, you're using that as a springboard to go forwards. You know, what we've done is just set aside now each week on a Tuesday night, we're looking at these videos and then talking through what are the things that our folk, you know, friends, neighbours, family, work colleagues are asking us or not asking us, or, you know, where are the fault lines into these people's lives with the gospel? And they're targeting 4 weeks running up to Easter. For the emphasis more with us, we decided to put it more on encouraging one another in personal witness, because I think we're not very good at that. Sometimes we're great, aren't we, at supporting the big event. And we've done lots of those at Llanelli over the years. But when it comes down to me being equipped and know that others are praying for me to talk to the people I meet during the typical week, so that's really our approach there.
Very good. And I think that's part of the vision of A Passion for Life as well, yeah, which is to create a culture of personal witnessing. I don't think they want a situation where churches depend on missions. It is always dangerous to depend on 4 weeks of mission, and that's our evangelism as a church. I think they want to develop a culture like you are doing in Llanelli, where people are witnessing, yeah, with their friends, where they are being salt and light in the community. And surely that is the strength of a venture like this.
Yeah.
When I worked for UCSF, I always saw missions as a springboard.
Right.
So it would be the culmination of a year of witnessing, but also a springboard for creating a culture. When people come together to pray, when they pray for friends, for colleagues and communities, that is bound to then lead to and have an effect on their personal lives and their personal witnessing. It's yeah. bound to do so, you know, when there is a deliberate attempt to pray for the lost. It's bound then to affect the way people live and the way they share their lives with colleagues. So if that happens as a result of a passion for life, if there are more churches praying for the lost, I think it's something which perhaps has been limited and it's been lost in our churches, mm-hmm. praying for the lost, praying for people to be saved, praying for people to respond in repentance and faith, mm-hmm. and to pray for individuals. So I think it's something which needs to be discovered again and for us to be doing that.
That is so helpful and so absolutely, you know, hitting the nail on the head, I think. Yeah, yeah. Actually, you know, as we come to an end now, Steph, someone was saying to me yesterday, actually, I'll tell you who it was. Okay, it was our friend Lindsay Brown. And Lindsay was saying to me in the conversation, hey, he said, I think the standard of Bible teaching in Wales has really improved over the years. It's pretty good. You know, wherever you go, you will hear good Bible ministry. But we still seem to be weak in the area of evangelism. And it's got me thinking about that. I see us thinking, I haven't really got anywhere with my thinking. So I thought I'd ask you, you know, what do you think about it? Do you think that's a fair assessment? And if so, why do you think it is that we maybe have advanced in the area of Bible teaching, but not necessarily in the area of evangelism?
If that's what Lindsay Brown feels, then I'll take his view. You know, he is very experienced and he goes around and he is better qualified than I to speak in those terms. I can speak personally. I think there are times when we live in a culture that is so post-Christian. I hate to use that word because there is no post-Christian, but we are living in a culture that is very ignorant of Christianity, hostile often to the Bible and to godliness, and that can have an effect on us. I think it can erode our confidence. I think it can take away the sharpness in our preaching. I think we can be a little bit apologetic, a little bit defensive, fearful. We become fearful of man. And I detect a little bit of that, and that we haven't got the boldness. I see it in my own preaching. I'm not as bold sometimes to say things that I would have done 10, 15 years ago. So there's less boldness, perhaps. There is more fear, perhaps, of people's responses. And also, perhaps, we're not seeing people coming into church as much. And so you preach to those in front of you. And the danger is then, if we see mature Christians, we start to preach to them, and we forget, actually, we need to be inviting people to church. We need to be asking the Lord to bring new people into church. The children, the young people need to hear the gospel preached in a challenging way. And mature Christians need to hear the gospel preached in a way which is sharp and focused as well. But the danger is, when you're not seeing newcomers coming in, you can lose that edge. And you can lose that sense of urgency to preach the gospel. I'm challenged. Do I meet non-Christians myself regularly? Do I understand how they think? Am I able to communicate with them? So I think there are challenges there, really. Do I really believe the gospel? Do I really love the Lord? Do I want to preach Christ and his glory? Do I want people to fall in love with the Lord Jesus? Do I want people to repent? Do I see the need for them to repent, to place their faith in the Lord Jesus for their personal salvation? Do I really believe in eternity and in judgment and hell? Do I truly believe this? Do I believe that people need forgiveness and salvation? And then, with those convictions, am I able to communicate them with clarity and in a way which is precise and in a way which does engage with today's mind and today's thinking? And all of that then is a challenge, isn't it? You know, so we need illustrations that are earthed in reality. We need illustrations that help people to understand what we're trying to communicate. We need people to see that they need more than therapy. They need more than comfort. They need more than peace. But they need peace with the Lord. And that has to be communicated. How you do that, that's a challenge, isn't it? But I think all of this becomes a quandary, perhaps, for us as preachers, and we can overcomplicate things. So I think there are times when I'm aware I need to go back to just preaching the gospel as clearly, as faithfully, as biblically as I can. Where does that leave us? I'm not sure, really. But we need to be preaching the gospel and interacting with people. What has helped my preaching more than anything is to see people coming from the outside. When they come in, when you're chatting with them, when you're asking questions and listening to them, you really understand what they need to hear and how you can communicate to them. So that would be my appeal, really. Listen to people, spend time with them.
Well, thank you. Thank you ever so much for that. That's very helpful, very challenging, very inspiring as well. Well, we're so glad that you've been able to join us today. I'm Phil Swan. I've been in conversation with Stefan Jones, pastor of Mount Elim in Pontardawe. We've been talking about A Passion for Life. Again, remind you that you can visit their website for further information. And we trust that the Lord encourages you in your own ministry and where you are, and that you will join us for another episode of Team Talk in a couple of weeks' time. The Lord bless you.